Look with me. God's Word, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This, of course, is a chapter that's full of parables. And we're going to read, starting with verse number 3, Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verse number 3. Everybody got your Bible or your phone with your Bible on it? I'm just going to assume that if you're looking down at your phone, that you're reading the Bible. So we're going to assume that. And if you're not, that's between you and God. Amen. Matthew 13 and 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Another fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Four different groups there that are mentioned by the Lord in this parable as far as hearers or receptivity, those that were receiving and hearing the word of the Lord. We know that that word, that seed is the word of God. And that seed only affected the one group with good ground. I'll talk about that just a little bit tonight, because there are people that right now are receptive to hearing a witness that maybe a year ago wouldn't have been, or 2 years ago wouldn't have been. There are people that right now are not receptive, but maybe 6 months from now they might be, or 1 year from now, or 2 years from now they might be receptive. I never was much of a fisherman, but I have gone fishing a lot of times over my years, especially when I was younger. I think I've only had a fishing license in Kentucky 2 times. One time to take Stephen and Zach fishing when they were little guys. And I was afraid that a ranger would come along and say, it doesn't matter if you're just sitting on the bank watching the boys, you need to have a fishing license. I was just sure I'd get caught. So I went and bought a fishing license. Another time was when Cooney wanted me to go with him on his pontoon boat fishing. We went out early in the morning, and I had gone and got a fishing license so that I wouldn't get in trouble out there fishing. So I've not done a lot of fishing in Kentucky. I have fished earlier when I was a younger person, and I don't know that much about it, but I do know this. I know that if you fish in the same spot and you just stay there and you try all different types of bait and you still don't catch any fish, it's time to move on. It's time to find another hole, another fishing hole. If you just try and you try and you try and you try, and the hours after hours after hour, and you don't catch anything, move on. Find you a better place to fish. Amen. Now, if you apply this to ministry, especially to reaching the lost, and we are all called to be fishermen for Jesus. He told his disciples, who were fishermen by trade, from henceforth, from this day forward, you're going to be fishers of men. They understood that. They understood that their task, their calling, their ministry was to go after men, the unsaved, those that didn't know Jesus. I do know this, that you might not catch a fish in a particular place, But you go back there in a few weeks and you might catch a boatload in that very same spot. Things change, seasons change, circumstances change, and it's so true in the lives of in the hearts and the reception that people have to the gospel. God is working on their hearts, and they might not be receptive today, but they might be in two or three months or 6 months or a year down the road. God can work on their hearts and cause them to be receptive to the gospel. So if you apply this to our outreach, our ministry, our caring for the lost, then we need to have a focus upon people that are ready, responsive, ready. That doesn't mean that we neglect to pray for others or that we don't have a burden for everyone. It just means we're sensitive, we're in tune to what's going on in people's lives, and we are listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. If He nudges you toward talking to someone, witnessing to someone, you should respond in obedience. Amen. Because it very well could be the time. And it might not have been last year or the year before or another season. And they may have been hard-hearted and unresponsive. They may have been like these other soils that are mentioned in this parable. They might be wayside soil or stony ground soil or thorny soil. But they might be now ready soil. They might be ready. They might be receptive. They might be have brought through the circumstances of their life as God works in them and deals with them and prepares them. You see, it's God's business to prepare hearts. It's our responsibility to sow seed. Plant the seed of the Word of God. Amen. You know, some of you would remember this, but a few years back, we had an effort that went on for some time, maybe about a year. We called it a Grow Outreach, G-R-O-W. And we had teams set up for each Monday evening. And you came and we called people, prospects. We called them. We sent cards to them. We prayed for them. We visited them. And it was on Monday nights, we divided the G-R-O-W into four different teams, so everyone just had one Monday night out of the month that they committed to be a part of this effort, to write cards, to reach out to people. Now, I don't know how much response there was, some, but not, I don't know how much response that there was during that time, but I have kind of evaluated it over the years, and I have noticed that some of those very ones that we wrote cards to and we contacted them week after week after week after week after week, and it seemed like they would never respond. A year or two later, they did respond. Some of them have started coming. Some of them are regular attenders here. They come all the time now. I've checked the records, and I've watched this happen, and so that was a season that some didn't respond then, but now they are responding. They're paying attention and they're open. We don't always know if someone is receptive or not. You can't always tell, but I believe that as we are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, there are times that God says, they're ready now. They are ready now. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul and his ministry team, Acts chapter 16 says that they went to the region, this is chapter 16 of the book of Acts in verse number 6. They went through throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What was going on there? Why would the Spirit of God tell them, don't go there now? Because they weren't ready. They weren't ready. After that, they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So there were two different directions that they were intending to go and to minister there, but the Spirit of God stopped them, said, no, not now. Not now. They're not ready now. This is not the time. But as the Apostle Paul lays his head down that night and goes to sleep, he has a dream. This is a dream that came by the Spirit. And he saw a man in Macedonia. That wasn't their plan. That wasn't their ministry plan to go into Macedonia. They planned for Asia. They planned for these other areas. But the Spirit of God in the night gave him a dream, and he saw a man of Macedonia saying, "Come and help us. Come over and help us." That was the Spirit of God, because there was a prepared, receptive group of people there in Macedonia. The time was right. They were ready. They were ready to hear. It was a time for responsiveness and for them to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, in Matthew 10 and 14, Jesus told his disciples, really from this verse, he's telling them, go to the ones that will be receptive. Chapter 10 and verse 14, Matthew. "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." Move on from that city. It's not ready yet. It's not receptive yet. They're still stuck in their sin and their paganism. They're not ready. The Jews had the practice. They would shake the dust off their feet because they felt like if they associated with people who were of a pagan or heathen philosophy, that would stay on them, would affect them. And so the Jews would shake the dust off of their feet. But really the message here that Jesus was giving them was this: move on. These people aren't ready yet. They're not ready yet. Move on. Don't spend your time with people who are hard-hearted. Don't spend your time with people that are not responsive. They have a stony heart or a wayside heart or a heart that's thorny ground. Ask the Lord to lead you to people that are good ground, that they're ready right now. The Spirit of God is working on them. Someone said, fruit that is ripe is easily picked. If fruit is not ripe and ready, then you have to tug on it and pull it off the vine. If it's ready, if it's ripe, then it just falls off. It's ready. And so you and I need to look at the opportunities that the Lord gives to us. We need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, and we need to pay attention to what is going on in the hearts of people that are around us. We bring prayer requests, concerned about family and people that we work with, and all these, you know, neighbors, whoever, we're concerned about them. Do you understand that God, I'm not saying that God necessarily puts sickness on people, but I do know that God can use adversity and problems and trouble to break up the ground of their heart and to bring them to a place that they will receive the seed of truth. Amen. They're not always receptive. But I've seen people, when they're flat on their back in the hospital, they were hard-hearted before, but something's changed about them now. They're more tender. They're more sensitive. They pay more attention to the message of the gospel. Brother K.A. Smith up in Lorain, Ohio, he told me, he said, basically, we built our church on hospital visitation. He said, I was at the hospital so much that they thought I was one of the doctors, that he was there day in and day out. And now you can't hardly do this now, but he would just go room to room. You're not really supposed to do that now. You're supposed to visit only people that you know that are there, and going room to room, they get on to you for that if you try that. But he would do that because he said, you know, I've found that people that are flat on their back, they're already looking up. They're already looking up, and they're always so responsive and so ready. Some people are hard, they're stony-hearted, they're wayside-hearted, they're thorny, grown-up ground. But some are good, some are ready. And there are those that you're coming in contact with that you can tell they're ready. another phrase, a New Testament phrase, was would be, they're not very far from the kingdom. They're close. They're close. You've witnessed this. You've seen people that God was working in their life, working through circumstances and preparing them. Sometimes people are receptive in their heart because they're going through different kinds of circumstances. Sometimes it's not all adverse circumstances. Sometimes it's good things. Some people are responsive whenever they, right after they get married, because they're thinking, oh, wow, it's not just me anymore. Now I've got a wife. I've got a heavy responsibility. Some people become more responsive when they have babies and children. They start thinking about the fact, oh, my, my little children need to know God. They need to go to the house of God. They need to be in Sunday school and church. They begin to feel the responsibility. And so God uses even some of the good things in our lives to help us to see His mercy and His goodness. God's always working on the hearts of men. He's not willing that any should perish. And so the Spirit of God is always working and moving. And some people become responsive. And sometimes it is a crisis in their life. They lose their job. They go through marital problems, maybe divorce. They have a death in the family, financial problems. And they realize, you see, one of the biggest obstacles to people opening their heart up to God is pride. Because they're convinced that they can make it on their own. I've lived my life. I've taken care of myself. I can deal with this. But God makes sure that people like that get into circumstances that they can't deal with. That they don't have the answers. And they don't have any way out. They don't know what to do. So sometimes your loved ones that you pray for, people you're concerned about, they're going through a crisis in their life, maybe a health crisis or other kind of circumstances. Don't interfere in it. Just let God use that situation to break up the hard, fallow ground of their heart. I know it's hard to watch when they're going through it, but it may be that God's preparing them so that the seed can finally find a receptive heart. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So it's important to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, like the apostle was there and having that vision of the man in Macedonia. It's important that you be in tune with what's going on with people that you care about and that you have a burden for them. And you can see the hand of God at work in their life. Amen. Sometimes it's through tension and other times it's through transition. Tension or transition. The pressure's on and they don't know what to do because of all the things that they are going through. Or it may be just transition, things that are happening in their life. They've moved. They've got a new house. They've got a new location. They've got a new baby or some kind of a situation where things are changing and it's kind of unsettled them. And God can use all kinds of circumstances to wake people up and to prepare their hearts to receive, to become soil, good ground that will receive the seed. Notice that the parable says, other fell in good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. You just never know. You never know how God is working or what He is doing. Brother Robert Holmes was a drug addict and a young person running from God. He had hair way down his back, went to church. And a lot of people thought he was a hopeless case. Robert Holmes got saved, and that pastor started reaching out to him. And Robert Holmes, God began to work in his life. Who could ever imagine the preacher he was going to become? Who could have imagined the ministry in Africa that was built there through his life and his ministry? You never know that the seed that is sown, it might be 30-fold, it might be 60, it might be 100-fold. You don't know how God might work. Amen. You just don't know the potential of how God can work in the hearts of people. And so I'm not saying that we neglect some. I'm just saying if they're not responsive, if they're hard-hearted and unwilling, just pray for them. But move on until God prepares their heart. And pray that God will work on them and help them to see their need to be saved. But until that happens, look for the receptive ones. Look for the ripe ones. Look for the ones that God brings into your life and that crosses your path. And they are ripe. They are ready. And you can receive them. I've told this lots of times, but whenever we started the church back in 1982 out in Oklahoma, we had church in the afternoon because we rented a building. And those folks had church on Sunday morning. We had church on Sunday afternoon. So we would meet and pray, and then we would go out and knock on doors on Sunday morning. It was a great time to do it because people usually have the excuse, oh, I go to so-and-so church. And they would start that line, and then they would realize it was like 11 o'clock, and if they went to so-and-so church, they should be at so-and-so church. So they would get caught in the trap of their own excuses. You heard me tell how that we knocked on a door in a mobile home park and a lady came to the door and her name was Jeannie Livingston. I never met her before. But we know more. We only got a couple of sentences out and the tears were flowing down her face. She was ready. She came to church that day. And she prayed through. 2 weeks later, her husband came and he got saved. Let me tell you, there are people around here that are ready. I know there are a lot of hard-hearted, unresponsive people, but there are some that they're ready. And they're receptive. Those are the ones we need to go after them right now. Amen. Go after them. And I can remember a time or two going fishing with a couple of my friends, and I would cast mine out into a particular place and be there for half an hour, an hour, not catching anything. My buddy would be just down the bank 30 or 40 feet fishing, and he was pulling one rod in after another. You know what I would do? I'd go join him. I'd go down within about 5 or 6 feet of him, and I'd cast out there pretty close to him. I know it irritated him, but and then I'd start catching, because you go where they're biting. You go where you can catch them. You go where people are receptive to the gospel. Amen. And that might be the homeless shelter. That might be the jail. It might be some that are going through a terrible crisis in their life. Right now, they're really, really in need. Their home is breaking up. Children are scattered, messed up in sin. Sin is a messy situation. It might be messy, but that's where they're often receptive, and that's where we need to go. Amen. Would you just pray that this week, Easter week, and then all throughout these next few weeks as we're emphasizing missions, that we'll not forget the mission that we all have personally that God's put in our own pathway, our own life. Sometimes it's in our family. It's in our neighborhood. It's those that we work with. It's those that we are acquainted with. And some of them are ready. Some of them are already. The ground is prepared. They're good ground right now. Go after them. Go after them. And let's believe God. Amen. Oftentimes, people that are unsaved, if they know you're a believer, they'll start coming to you and sharing their need and their burden and their circumstances. And they're doing that because it's a cry for help. They need help. I'm convinced that people who walk in the door of our church randomly of their own accord, many times it's a heart cry. We need help. We need help. And so let's go after them. Let's pray for them. Let's reach out to them as best that we can, and let's trust the Lord to help us to reach those that are right now ready. Good ground. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Right here in this sanctuary, Lord, there are so many people, Lord, that they have the seed of the gospel. And Lord, I know you're wanting to use us to sow on good ground. Lord, by your Spirit, would you direct our steps? Lord, would you help us to be in tune, sensitive to those that are around us, watching and observing their life and looking for those, Lord, that are opening up their heart to the gospel. Lord, this is an age when so many people have hardened their hearts and they're rejecting God. But Lord, I know that you are working in the world by your Holy Spirit. I know that you're moving in the world. You're moving in our community, Lord, by your Spirit. And you're touching the hearts of people. And help us, Lord, to be ready to sow the seed, to touch the lives of people, we pray. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Minister, we pray, through us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the vessel that's used. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.